Proverbs chapter number 11 here this morning. Proverbs chapter number 11. I do want to thank you all for allowing me to be here this morning, and also, Lord willing, this evening we'll be back and be here just sharing God's word with you once again. I did enjoy that Sunday school lesson. Me and Brother Charles, we were talking about that a little bit afterwards, and that statistic that he mentioned at the beginning about the population of the United States and being 1.8 children per family. You know, that right there ought to, you know, spark something in our minds that this something's not going to work out right. You know, 1.8 children per family, and of course the 0.8 just kind of sounds weird. How do you have 1.8 children? But that's just how the math works out as far as averaging. And then I was talking to him about like 3 years ago. I think I was watching one. It was a short video of one. And it was specifically talking about the influx of Muslim families in our country. And it gave the birth rate for their families as 8, at least 8.1. You have to have that point to sound good, I guess. 8.1 children per family. Now, if you just sit there and just think this out for a little bit, the American citizen, now we're just not talking about, you know, white American citizens. We're just talking about American citizens as a whole is only having 1.8. And the influx of Muslim, and you know what they bring with them. They bring the Quran, they bring Islam. You know, not all of them. You know, some of them are born-again believers. Some of them do know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. But we're going to be overpopulated. And I believe the statistic that I was seeing, that it was given by at least 2050 or maybe a little bit later, that these are going to start to shift. And our nation as a whole is going to be totally different than what we're used to. And you know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be seriously and earnestly praying, especially for our young people, especially if you have children, you have grandchildren, and obviously they're dear to your heart, aren't they? And you need to be praying that they'll be strong in the faith, regardless of how our country goes, regardless of what comes, that we're going to be faithfully, earnestly giving them the faith that has been handed to us and give that over to them so that they can still stay strong and regardless of what happens in this country. Let's determine that we're going to pray for our young people, for our children, and for our grandchildren. Well, Proverbs chapter number 11, we're going to begin reading with verse number 1. But before we read our text, our passage of Scripture, I just wanted to give you a story on a lighter note. I just recently heard this story of a state police officer that was on the side of the interstate. And he was on the side of the interstate, and he was checking everybody's speed, you know, making sure nobody was breaking the law and, you know, speeding on the interstate like some of us do. And he's sitting there, and he's got his radar gun out, and he's paying attention to all these cars that are going by. And he's sitting there, he's watching this one car, and it's going by extremely slow. And he notices that there's 4 older ladies in it. Sorry, older ladies, I'm not putting this out there to you, but there's 4 older ladies in the car, and they're sitting there driving, and he checks the speed. He's like, what in the world? 21 miles an hour. So he checks it again. He's like, well, maybe they just got on the interstate at 21 miles an hour. And he sits there, follows the car the whole way, 21 miles an hour. And he's like, well, this is just dangerously slow on the interstate. So he pulls them over. He gets up behind them, and he pulls them over. They're all kind of freaking out, you know, in the car. And he walks up there, and he said, ladies, he said, do you know why I pulled you over? And they said, no, sir. She said, well, we're going the speed limit. We're going 21 miles an hour. And he said, ma'am, he said, the speed limit's not 21 miles an hour. And she said, look at that sign right there. It says 21 miles an hour. And he says, ma'am, he said, that's the route number. It's route 21. And she was like, oh. Then the police officer looks around in the car, and he's just like, you all look a little distraught. You know, they were all kind of like, you know, breathing really hard. He said, is there something wrong? Can I help you? And one lady in the back, she just took a deep breath. She's like, we'll be okay, officer. Just give us a minute. She said, we just got off of Route 121. Could you imagine how that ride would have been? 121 miles an hour the whole time. But here in Proverbs chapter number 11, we're going to begin reading with verse number 1. We're just going to read 3 verses. We're going to cover really just one verse. We're going to cover verse 1. Now, the message I'm going to give you this morning is a very practical one. It is one that I believe that we could just take this simple truth and we can apply it to our life. And to be honest with you, I don't think I've ever really heard a sermon on this subject. It's Bible. It's in the Bible. It is true. It is just. It's God's Word. But I don't think I've ever actually heard a sermon just on this subject. Now, I've read books. I've read articles. I've read other different things about this subject. But the subject we're going to be talking about is very practical and something that you and I need in our lives as Christians. Chapter 11, verse number 1, the Bible says, "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." Our verse we're going to be focusing on this morning is verse 1, where the Bible says, "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." Let's pause for a word of prayer before I bring to you a message I've entitled Unbalance versus Balance. Unbalance versus Balance. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you this morning, and I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace. But Lord, I do also pray that you'll help each one of us here that are born-again believers. And Lord, I don't take it lightly to think that everybody in here are Christians. But Lord, for the ones that are not Christians, the ones that are lost, I just pray that you'll work in their heart. I pray that they'll trust Christ as their Savior and that they'll truly change their destination from hell to heaven. But Lord, for those of us that are in here as Christians, I know that so many things are pulling on us every day. They're pulling for our time and for different things that just come up in our life. And I just pray, Lord, that we'll determine we're going to have that balance that we are supposed to have as born-again believers, as born-again Christians. I pray, O Holy Spirit, that you'll fill me, and I pray that you'll help everyone here to listen and to adhere to whatever you lay on their heart. Lord, I love you, and I do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In our lives, we must continually try to balance things. If you haven't noticed, and of course I know you have because you're an adult just like I am, even children figure this out eventually, that everything in your life is about balance. There's always places to go. There's always things to do. There's always something calling for your time. There's always something calling, or you need to attend church. You need to do this at church. You need to do this at home. You need to mow the grass. You need to go to work. You need to do this. You need to go to school. You need to do your homework. You need to, all these different things that is in your life you have to get done and you have to do, correct? Now, there's some things that you don't have to do. There's some things sometimes you pile on your own self that God didn't really intend for you to have. But for those things that we're talking about that God wants you to have and that God wants you to get done and God wants you to do, he wants you to do it with a balance. And this balance thing sometimes is harder for some and sometimes it's easy for some. But would you agree that most of us would probably say it's a little hard sometimes to keep that balance that we are supposed to have? It's kind of like riding a bike, and I remember teaching my boys to ride a bike. Now, I remember Landon, whenever, and he's here, and he can testify to this story, this is hilarious, whenever we were teaching him to ride a bike, and we were going down the road, and of course, you dads in here, or even you moms, maybe you're teaching somebody to ride a bike, and you know, you always hold, you know, the back part of the seat, and you're sitting there running behind them. I mean, you get a workout when you do that stuff. You're sitting there running behind them trying to keep them balanced because they always tend to try to go from one way to the other. Well, I remember I was teaching Landon to ride his bike, and I'm sitting there, and I'm running behind him, and eventually he got good enough where I'd let it go. And I let go, and he took off, and he leaned this way, and he smacked right into somebody's mailbox. And seriously, it was like off a cartoon. He hit the mailbox, and he was still in the air, and the bike just went out from under him, and then eventually he fell down. But it was just hilarious. It was like slow motion type of thing. You know, and he still remembers that story. It's hilarious. But you know what he did after that? He got right back up and got on the bike, and he kept on going and kept on going until eventually now he can just get on a bike, and he can ride it just like he didn't even think about it. Do you even think about balancing it when you get on the bike? You just get on it, you take off. Now, Justice, my second son here, we were teaching him how to ride a bike last year without training wheels. We took the training wheels off. Now, it took about a couple days. And we went over to the same street, But I saw him, right? I went over the same street. I'm sitting there holding the back, and I'm running. And he'd always want to lean this way. He'd always want to lean this way. So every time I let go, he'd instantly fall. So I ran around the block about 3 or 4 times, and I'd let go, and he'd fall, and he'd fall, and he'd fall. And so finally, one time, I was sitting there, and I was going, and I kind of felt like he was a little bit ready, and I let go, and he fell over, and he fell right on the curb. And he was frustrated, and he got up, and he sat down on his bike, and he said, "I'm not doing it." So I had to get over there, try to give him that little pep talk. You know, come on, you can do it, you know. Well, eventually we just pushed the bike home. And we tried again the next day after I got off work. Then the next day after I got off work, we tried it again, and I'm sitting here running around the block again. And then eventually he gets it, and I let go, and he starts to take off, and just that big smile on his face. I mean, he was just enjoying himself because he finally got the balance. Now, for some of us, maybe we might be like Landon, you might crash, and you might be like, "Oh, I got way out of balance in that area." But be determined you're going to get back on the bike. Maybe you might be like Justice a little bit, and you just want to sit there and say, "Nah, I'm not doing it anymore. I give up." But remember what it's going to feel like when you get back on that. And finally, you got that balance down, and you got that balanced life the way it's supposed to be. You see, the Bible says there in Proverbs chapter number 11, he says, "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." Everything you have in your life, God wants you to balance it. God wants you to know when you're out of balance and how to get yourself balanced. Now, what I want us to understand before we move on, before we dig into specifically this verse, is I want us to understand a few things about our life. First thing we need to understand is that our life is not our own. We are to be a steward of our life, not an owner. There's a difference between a steward and an owner. An owner is the one that has true ownership over something. A steward is somebody that kind of manages something. So in your life as a born-again believer, as a Christian, your life is not your own. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse number 5, the Bible says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." You see, God was telling Jeremiah, he said, before you were ever born, I was the one that formed you, and I was the one that gave you the purpose to be a prophet. And you know what? God has formed every single person that's in here. And he has formed you to be you. He hasn't formed you to conform to somebody else or to act like somebody else. He has formed you to be specifically you. If he wanted you to be like somebody else, then he would have formed you that way, but he didn't. So he has formed you to be you. That's the first thing you need to understand. But he also formed you for a purpose. And that is to be a steward of what God has given you in your life. It's not your job to manage somebody else's life or to manage how they are to be, they're out of balance and they're this way. It's your job to manage your life because God gave it to you to steward. The Bible says this in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. The Bible says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So God has given you your life, and I want you to simply point at yourself because this is what God has given you to be a good steward of. So you understand there's good stewards and there's bad stewards. And I hope that your heart's desire is not to be a bad steward, and to do things that Christ would not want you to have in your body and in your life. Secondly, we need to understand that you are to be a good steward of your time, talents, and possessions. Everybody in here has the same amount of time in their life. Now, not necessarily their lifespan, but I'm talking about daily. Does anybody in here have 28 hours in a day? No, you don't, do you? Everybody has 24 hours in a day. Everybody has the same amount of time as the person next to you or the person across the pew or this guy right here. We have the same exact amount of time. It's, are we going to be a good steward of that time? Now, as far as your lifetime is concerned, you know, the Bible says that we get 70 years. Some get more, some get less. You know, it's whatever the Lord wants for you and how long he wants for you to be here on this earth. But what are you going to do with that time? And I can't really remember what it is, but I remember actually adding it up and figuring up over how many days you would have if you lived a 70-year lifetime. And what I did with mine is I deducted it. I'm 31 years old. I'm going to be 32 next month. And I deducted that many days that I've already used up and how many days I have left. And it's really, if you do the math, it's really not very much if you start to count up the days. And God has entrusted you, and I want you to understand this, God has entrusted you with those days so that you could be a steward of it and so that you can manage it and so that you can understand that I am supposed to have this balance that Christ would want me to have. Everybody in here has talents as well. Now, I'm just not talking about, you know, the spiritual gifts in the Bible, which all of those are spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives you whenever you get saved and he puts you in the church and he has specific gifts for you. But I'm also talking about other talents that you can do. You know, some of you ladies could probably sew, and some of you ladies can encourage, and I mean, some of you fellows, I mean, you can work on, you can be a mechanic, and you can work on things. Those are talents. Those are things that God has given you. But let me ask you, are you using those for God's glory, and are you balanced in it? Because understand, just because you're good at something doesn't mean that you can skip church for it, or it doesn't mean that you can, you know, go over the top on about anything, to be honest. Even a good thing can become a bad thing whenever you start to do it this way. You see what I mean? And you start to go, and you start to get out of balance. Everybody in here also has possessions. So most of you have cars. You might say, well, my car is not the greatest. It's okay. It doesn't matter. You still have a possession. Everybody in here probably has a home that they're in or a bed that they sleep in. You have a roof over your head. Who gave that to you? God gave it to you. He gave it to you to steward. You know, a Christian's home ought to, I'm not going to necessarily say immaculate, but it ought to look nice. Not so that you can show everybody, hey, come look at my yard, it's perfect. I mean, my grass always stays this tall, and I mean, it's just bright green. And not so you could do that, but just so that you could show, look, this is how much Christ cares. I care about Christ. And he has given me this so that I can be a good steward of it and so that I can take care of it. That's what a Christian should do. He has given you that home. He has given you that car. He's given you your job. He's given the money in your bank. He's given you that. And sometimes people go off the wall on their finances and they'll get all out of balance with that. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But we can get all out of balance in these things that Christ has given us, not for you to be an owner, but for you to be a steward. And I think whenever we get it in our minds and whenever we start to figure out that all these things are things that God has given me so that I can manage it, it really changes your outlook on this idea of being balanced. Of being balanced in your Christian life. Because what does Proverbs 11:1 say? It says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. What I'd like us to do is go ahead and dive into our text, and I want us to simply look at this message entitled Unbalance versus Balance, because the question is that I'm giving to you here this morning is, which one are you? Which one are you? Are you leaning this way, or are you leaning this way, or are you balanced? Are you balanced? Are you balancing everything that Christ has given you to manage, given you to be a steward over? Are you balanced? Because if not, guess what's going to happen? You're going to crash and burn. And then it'll be a decision time. Am I going to accept the fact that I was way out of balance in this area? And I need to fix it. I need to fix it. What I'd like us to do is simply look at number one. A view of an unbalanced life. A view of an unbalanced life. It seems like man tends to get out of balance at times, and sometimes we tend to go to one extreme to the next. And guess what? When you go from one extreme to the next, it causes all types of problems in your life. and it'll even cause all types of problems in other people's lives. Sometimes we get out of balance with these three things, and I have listed them this way because I think if you get the first one out of balance, all the rest of it's going to follow. People get out of balance with their view of God. People get out of balance with their view of God. People get so out of balance in this area that it has literally caused and created false heretical churches and false heretical teachings. Some people get out of balance in their view of God's love and God's wrath. You know what? What you'll have, and usually it's easy to spot these people, you'll have these people over here, and they're so focused on God's wrath. And they're so focused on God's judgment. And you know, the Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day, which the Bible does say that, by the way. The Bible says that in the Gospel of John that the wrath of God is on the unbeliever. Well, guess what? That's true. Yes, got it. And they'll say, you know, God's not going to let you get away with sin. He's going to get you. He'll take care of you. Right? And then you'll have people on this side. And they'll be like, God's love. God is just so love. And if God's love, then he's not going to judge you. And if God's love, then the sky's the limit on this side too. Now, does the Bible say God's love? It does, doesn't it? Is that one of his attributes? Oh, yeah. God is love. Isn't that what the book of 1 John says? Does the Bible also say that God's wrath? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? But you know what? People that get off on this side, they're way out of balance. So far out of balance that it's not even funny. It creates an attitude and it creates an atmosphere that is not Christ-like. And then people get over here, they're the exact same way. They'll start to okay sin and they'll start to say, it's okay, God's love. It's all right, God's love. Now, we're not to be on either one of those sides. We're to be right here. Because I understand that God is wrath. God is angry with the wicked every day. God's wrath does abide on the unbeliever. But I also do know that God loved them enough to send his son Jesus Christ to pay for their awful sin so that they can be saved and that the Holy Spirit will work on their heart. And I'm not okaying their sin, but I'm simply saying that God still does love them enough to save their poor, wretched soul. So I'm going to be right here. I don't know where you're going to be. I don't know where you're at in this equation. I don't know if you're leaning on this side, if you're leaning on this side, but I want to be right here. And let me tell you something. That just one view of God, that one view of God has created all types of problems in people. All types of problems in people on both sides of the aisle. But where are you this morning? Determine I'm going to be right here. And I'm going to understand that God is holy, God is just, God is the judge, but he's also love and he does care for sinners. I'm going to be right there. So that's the very first thing that people get so out of balance on. They get out of balance on their view of God. The second thing that people get out of balance on is that they get out of balance in their doctrine. They get out of balance in their doctrine. Understand, I get a little leery whenever I hear a Christian say, well, I just don't like doctrine. Well, let me ask you something. Have you ever read your Bible? The Bible is full of doctrine. For every single page is doctrines and doctrine of this and doctrine of that. It is everywhere in your Bible. But some people will start to take certain positions on just one certain verse and say, well, that's where I'm going to lean towards and all those other verses don't matter anymore. Let me give you the example of the doctrine of God's foreknowledge and man's free will. Do you realize that these two doctrines have given birth to the Calvinists and then on the other side has given birth to Arminians? The Calvinists are the ones that will say, well, God's foreknowledge is preeminent. God knows who's going to get saved and he'll handpick those that are going to get saved and handpick those that are going to hell. And you can't, and then they also say, you can't resist the grace of God. Because God has picked you. He's chosen you. That's the Calvinist side. That's the foreknowledge side. And then people will get on this side and say, well, the free will of man, it's Bible. By the way, that's Bible too. This is Bible. But they'll take this to the extreme and say, well, the man's free will. He's the only one that chooses God. And by the way, he can choose to get out of his salvation. That's this extreme. Now, let me ask you something. Whenever you got saved, and be careful how you answer it. When you got saved, did you choose God or did God choose you? I think it's both. You want to know why? Because God's foreknowledge. Gotcha. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I chose you. Gotcha. 100%. But over here, it also says that man has that choice. He's given you that choice to resist it or to accept it. He doesn't want you to be a puppet. If he wanted you to be a puppet, you would have just been born a Christian and you would have been a perfect person. But I don't know a perfect person. He wants you to choose. So both of these are correct, aren't they? But you realize that there's people way over here, and then there's people way over here, and guess what? They're so out of balance. It has given way to a whole bunch of heresy. And by the way, really, these two sides are not even funny because they're damning people to hell. There's people that'll sit there and say, well, I guess I'm not chosen. I'm going to hell on that side. Then there's people over here who say, well, I just don't even want to be saved today, so I'll just get out of it. Wow. So many people get out of it. Get out of balance with the doctrine. So many people get out of balance with worship. They'll get on this side and say, we need to rock it out and let's all sing Kumbaya and just lift up your hands, let's go. Then there's people over here. And because we see that, we'll stand over here and we'll see. Amazing. And we just sing things that are just like we're dead. Like we're at a funeral or something instead of we're at, you know, a church service getting ready to be revived up and pepped up to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, that side's wrong, but this side's wrong. Because we're alive in Christ, aren't we? We're not just to be sitting here to, yeah, I love Jesus. This I know. For the Bible tells me. You ought to get excited for what Christ has done. Now, don't go over here. It's not the place for you. But you ought to be right here and say, yeah, the Bible does say I'm supposed to worship the Lord with gladness. I'm going to shout unto the Lord. I'm supposed to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. And it's going to reveal in the way that you act in the church service. I like to call it biblicist. Right here. It's called a balanced view on doctrine. So many people get out of balance with rapture. You know how many times people always want to ask me, who's the Antichrist? Who do you think's the Antichrist? I'm like, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me because I'm not going to know I'm going to be in heaven anyway. And usually the people that'll sit there and ask those questions are people that don't believe there's a rapture. I had a guy the other day, and he wanted to talk to me about Revelation 17 being the United States of America. And I started to explain to him, I was like, I honestly don't think that's the United States of America, by the way. And he was just like, why? And I was like, well, the rapture's going to happen first. And he instantly said, whoa, whoa, whoa. He said, there is no rapture. And I looked at him, I said, and to be honest, I got a little righteously indignation, I guess that's the way I'll call it. And I said, there is a rapture, sir. And I said, I showed him in the Bible, and he said, no, there's not. And he got all mad at me, and he left. And I was like, okay. They'll get on this side and they'll say, well, there is none. And then they'll get on this side. And sometimes people will get on this side and say, well, since there is rapture, I'm just going to kind of hang on and come on, Jesus. And I'm not going to do a thing because I know Jesus is coming. Both those sides are wrong. Understand, guys, this will get you out of balance in everything. Because if you get out of balance in your view of God, you'll get out of balance in your view of doctrine. And then thirdly, you're going to get out of balance in your life. Everything else you'll get out of balance with. Now, who in here has a family? Let's say you have children, you got grandchildren. You realize sometimes we can get out of balance with our family. Sometimes we can work too much. Sometimes we can work less. And we can start to go this way where I'm working too much, I can't spend time with family. And then we get on this side and say, well, now I'm not working very much and I'm not even providing for my family. And I've seen both sides of these extremes where some people will go to this level where you should never take a vacation, you should never spend time with your children, you should never, 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 never. And that's wrong. And then there's people over here who said you should always be with your children. You should always, 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 always. And that side's wrong too. Now, you can judge in your own family where that balance can be. But all I do know is that your children are a blessing from the Lord that God has given to you and entrusted to you to raise. And some children, I mean, and those of you that have multiple children, you can tell that some children are, they need a little bit more attention than others. Need to spend a little bit more time with them than others. You have to determine that balance, but sometimes you'll catch yourself falling off to one side or falling off to the other with your family. Some people do it with their finances. And they'll think, I'm just supposed to give, 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 give. The Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. He does want you to give. And then some people on this side said, I'm just supposed to save, 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 and never give. And for some reason, our human nature is to go from one extreme to the next. Now, it's both sides are good. The Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. He wants you to give, but he also wants you to save. The book of Proverbs is full of money, by the way. But the book of Matthew, chapter number 25, is full of, it's a parable of money, the parable of the talents, the parable of the town of the pounds. Those are all about money. And he says, I want you to save so you can give an inheritance. And so that you, it's fine to save and it's fine to enjoy that money that you work for. But you realize that there have been some people that have saved so much that people thought that they were homeless. I just recently heard this story. It had about like five or six different stories in it. One person was, she was a librarian all her life. And all she did was save, 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 save. And I think she lived in just a one-bedroom apartment by herself. And whenever she died, you don't know how much money she had? $7 million. $7 million. But everybody thought she was homeless. Everybody thought she just had nothing. $7 million. There was another guy that he was a custodian for a school system. And he was the custodian. And people would buy his meals because they thought that he was homeless because of the clothes that he would wear and the way that he would present himself. Whenever he died, he had $5 million. $5 million. Well, that tells me a few things. First off, you work for your money. Second off, that anybody can really do it if you just save and invest it right. But thirdly, that shows me they were on this side. Because, hey, it's all right for you to enjoy your money. It's all right for you to save. It's all right for you to give, but it's all right for you to enjoy. Don't get out of balance and teeter to one side to the other. So that's number one, is God's, or number one is a view of an unbalanced life. Now let's look at number two. Number two is, how does God look at it? What is God's view of an unbalanced life? Proverbs chapter number 11. Are you still there? Proverbs chapter number 11. Let's look at verse number 1. Just the very first part of the verse. The Bible says this in Proverbs 11, 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord. This is God's view of when we get out of balance. Let's break this down. Let's take the word false. False, what does this mean? This word means deceitful. It means fake. It means subtle. You know what? God hates it when you're fake. God hates it when you're being deceitful. God hates it when you're being dishonest. Because he says a false means fake. It means deceitful. And then it says balance. This word means that you're balanced on both sides of the scales. You can kind of get a picture of an old-time scale, and you would put the weights on one side and weights on the other side, and you're trying to balance it out, correct? And so that word balance means that you're perfectly balanced. You've got just enough on this side, just enough on this side, perfectly balanced. But don't forget about the word that it just said. It said a false, a deceitful, a fake one. It means that you're not this way, and it might even mean that you're acting like it. We're good actors sometimes. And we like to act like we're not walking this way. And we like to act like that's not really us. But the Bible says a false balance is, And what's the next word? I want you to say it with me. Abomination. I think we might be familiar with that word a little bit. A false balance is abomination to the Lord. The word abomination means disgusting. It means it's abhorred. You want to know what the word abhorred means? It means he hates it. So, put it together. Christ says, whenever you're out of balance, or whenever you're being deceitful about it, and you're trying to act like you've got it all together, I hate it. God says that. It's disgusting to me, is what he says. It disgusts me when you do it. It disgusts me whenever you're going on this side and you're going on this side. It disgusts me and I hate it. He says it's an abomination to me. The implications of this verse is very serious. And it ought to be very serious to you and I as well. Because he links up that unbalanced life right along with what else he calls abominations. You're already in the book of Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter 6 real quick. Proverbs chapter number 6. Let's look at what else the Lord calls an abomination. Proverbs chapter number 6, verse number 16. He gives us seven things that he finds abominable. He gives us seven things that he says is disgusting. He says that I hate it. Proverbs chapter number 6, look at verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. You see, he gives us seven things that he uses the exact same word, abomination. He said, these seven things are an abomination unto me, and God says, I hate them. They're disgusting. That means that God hates pride just as much as he hates unbalance. That means God hates lying just as much as he hates unbalance. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. And you read it in that book, Lie, by Ken Ham, about those that are shedding innocent blood. Understand, America is shedding innocent blood every single day through abortion. And God says, I hate it. It's disgusting. And he says, but I hate that just as much as I hate you getting unbalanced. God also says, I hate it whenever your feet are swift to do mischief. Whenever your feet are the ones that are taking you to do mischief. But then he also says, I also hate those wicked imaginations that you have. Those wicked imaginations that come up here. Understand, you haven't even acted on it, but it's up here. And God says, I hate it. It's abomination to me. And then God also says, I hate a false witness, one that is going to spread lies. Then he also says, I hate those that are going to sow discord among the brethren. He hates it. It's disgusting. God's view of unbalance is the same as all those. But let's not leave out another one. Because I think this one will get us. Leviticus chapter number 18, verse 22. Turn with me there real quick. Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 22. The Bible says something else is an abomination to God. It's not popular. People don't like it. But it's Bible. Leviticus 18, 22, the Bible says this, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is abomination. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is abomination. This is talking about the sodomites. This is talking about the homosexual crowd. This is talking about those weird ones. And God says, it makes me sick, it is disgusting, and I hate it. You might be thinking, well, that's just Leviticus. That's Old Testament stuff. Realize the book of Romans chapter number 1 says the exact same thing pretty much. Romans chapter 1, let me read it to you, verse 26 and 27. We read part of it in Sunday school hour. Romans chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, The Bible says, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Now, you adults in here know exactly what that was talking about. This is talking about the homosexual lifestyle, and God says that that lifestyle is an abomination to me. I'd like to send that to some liberal theologians. And I put that in quotes. Some liberal pastors that are out there today that want to discredit this. Do you realize that I just heard this week, and this just totally mind boggles me and it blows my mind, that there is books that are just recently being written and that are being put out there today called I'm a Gay Christian. Doesn't that blow your mind? And it's written by a man that is a professor at a Southern Baptist seminary that is literally a teacher there, but he's openly gay. He's an openly homosexual, but he's a gay Christian. And it's got a video that's with it, and I'm sitting here watching this video, and it's got this nice, dramatical, you know, music behind it. And he's there. Of course, he talks like this. You know, he's got a lisp. And he's sitting there talking, and he says, you know, when I grew up, he said, I was always taught that being a homosexual is an abomination. And then he said, and so I just figured I was either going to have to forsake Jesus, or I'm going to have to forsake the way God made me. That's what he said. So, but then he said in this video, he said, I figured out there's a third way. He said, I figured out I can do both, and I can be the way Jesus made me. He's saying that his homosexuality is the way Jesus made him, which isn't the way Jesus made him, by the way. He said, I can be this way and still love Jesus. And so now I'm writing this book about being a gay Christian. I'm like, what in the world? And did you realize that right, I think it's in about a month, they're going to have this big type of a conference over in St. Louis. And they're literally labeling it like LGBT conference inside a Presbyterian church, which is endorsed by the Southern Baptist, to teach homosexuals how to work the nursery, to teach homosexuals how to preach and how to teach and how to be Sunday school teachers. And I'm sitting there thinking, my soul. You want to know what this is? This is somebody going, cool. And they're so far out of balance with this. And they're wrong. Because the Bible says that it's an abomination to the Lord. It should never be allowed. But with that in view, and I think everybody in here sees that lifestyle, that sin as abominable, God says, I see your unbalance the same way. Your unbalance is an abomination to the Lord. So we ought to take this unbalance very serious, because God does. So we looked at number one, a view of unbalance. So whether you relate to any of those that I gave you, maybe it's something else that is in your life that you know that you're unbalanced on. Whatever it may be, you need to give it to the Lord. Secondly, maybe you're in here and you're like, okay, now I see it. Now I see how God sees it whenever I get so far out of balance. And now let's look, lastly, number three, God's view of a balanced life. Instead of doing this and then doing this, your balance, what does God say? Look with me back at Proverbs chapter number 11. Back at our text verse, Proverbs chapter number 11, verse number 1. The Bible says a false balance is abomination to the Lord. That's the bad news. We don't like that one. But don't stop there. Because you continue to read it, he says, but a just weight is his delight. A just weight is his delight. Did you realize that there's only at least four places in the Bible that I have found through studying that says that God delights in us? Just that phrase. Now, there's other phrases that alludes to that, but that says that God delights in us. There's only four. There's a bunch of verses that talks about us delighting in God, but there's four that tells that God delights in us, and all four of them are in the book of Proverbs. This is one of them. He says, whenever you're balanced, he says, it's like a delight unto the Lord. Those three other instances I want to give you, Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 20, that in the same chapter, I want you to look down at verse number 20. It says, they that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord. Okay, we kind of have the same type of verse. He's using frowardness, which means wickedness. He says, they're abomination to the Lord, but such as are of upright in their way are his. And what's the next word? Delight. He said, those that are of upright, they're upright. He says, they're my delight. Another instance is in chapter 12, verse number 22. Chapter 12, verse number 22. And if you notice, he always starts off with the bad news and he gives you the good news. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. But they that deal truly, those that are honest, are his, what's the next word? Delight. Delight. Another instance is found in chapter 15, verse number 8. Chapter 15, verse number 8. The Bible says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is what? His delight. Those are the only four instances that I found in the Bible where it says that we bring delight to God. So he says, once you figure it out, once you get your life in balance, once you start to get your balance on the view of God, on the doctrine of God, and you get balanced in your life, he says it brings God great delight. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to be one of those that brings God great delight. But you might be sitting there thinking, well, Brother Andy, this is all well and good, but I just don't think I can do it. I'm so far out of balance. I just don't know how in the world to do this. Well, I'm not standing here telling you I'm an expert. And I'm not standing here telling you I'm perfectly balanced on everything. But I'm standing here telling you I know somebody that can balance you out quickly. His name's the Holy Spirit of God. He is the perfect balancer. He is the perfect balancer. He is the one that can see that you're so far leaning this way, and he'll be the one that can simply balance you out and put you on solid ground. Has anybody in here ever heard Dr. Doug Fisher preach? He's a pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church in San Diego, California. And he was in the United States Marine Corps. And he said one time, he said he was in an airplane. He said he had this crazy idea. He wanted to go up in an airplane, so he said he was in the airplane, and he said he was in this special type of airplane that he had no clue about. He had no clue about airplanes, but he said it was just him and the pilot, just them two. And he said it was in the two-seater plane. He's in the pilot's in the front. He's kind of behind them, you know what I mean? Just kind of gets you a little picture. And he said they're going high, and he said they go all the way up. And he said right as soon as they get up there, the pilot starts talking to him, and he starts saying, now, I want to teach you something about this plane. And he says, okay. And so the pilot says, I'm going to put this plane into a tailspin going straight down. And I want you to bring us out of it. And he said, yes, sir. So he says instantly, he puts this plane into a tailspin and it starts to go down. And Pastor Doug Fisher said he puts his feet on the rudder and he got the stick and he's trying to get themselves out of this thing, trying to figure out how in the world to get this plane out of this tailspin going straight down. And then over the phone, over the headphones, he said, are you done yet? But yeah, I have no clue how to straighten this thing out. And he said, okay, first thing you need to do, take your feet off the rudders and put your hand on your head. And he thought that was kind of weird, but hey, he's tried everything else, so I'm just going to do that. So he takes his feet off the rudders. He puts his hands on the head. The pilot does the exact same thing. He takes his feet off the rudders, puts his hand on the head, and this plane eventually starts to slow down and it just straightens itself out. And he says to Doug Fisher, he says, I want to teach you something about this plane. He He's like, this plane is designed for semi-conscious pilots. That maybe they go unconscious. And he says, and if they start to go into a tailspin, this plane will figure itself out. And it'll get you back on the right path. Do you know the Holy Spirit's that way? Maybe you feel like you're on a tailspin and you're like, I am so far out of balance. I don't know what to do. I've been doing this and I've been doing that and I've been trying to figure this all out, but I just can't do it. Let it go. Put your hands on your head if you want to and just let the Holy Spirit level you out. And he'll balance you. So that's the first thing that you can do to get yourself in balance. Let the Holy Spirit do it. The second thing, listen to other people. Did you realize other people sometimes will let you know when you get out of balance? And there's something you don't need to do. You don't need to get mad at them whenever they tell you. Fellas, has your wife ever told you whenever she's noticed you're getting out of balance in an area? I'm sure she has. Fellas, have you ever had to tell your wife whenever she's kind of going a little bit this way in an area? I'm sure you have. But some of you, maybe you have close friends, or maybe you have close family members, maybe it might even be your preacher. Maybe he has to come and tell you, say, hey, I've kind of noticed in this area, maybe you're getting a little out of balance. The first instinct you might have is to get mad and angry. Say, well, it's none of his business. Instead of having that instant thing, you should simply say, thank you, maybe I am. And put the pride aside and examine it and see, maybe he's right. Maybe she's right. Maybe I am doing a little bit of this. And then the third thing you need to do is you have to confess it and forsake it. If you want to live this balanced life in which Christ wants you to live, and he does want you to live it, and he wants you to be right there, and he wants you to be right there in everything, you've got to let the Holy Spirit right you when you're wrong. You've got to have a humble spirit and let other people possibly even tell you about it, and then you examine it, and then you confess it, and you forsake it. It takes you to do it. Just like how we talked about the foreknowledge of God and the free will of man. God wants you to be balanced, but you've also have your part, where you've got to balance everything that Christ has given you. By way of closing, I just simply want to ask everybody this. And like I told you at the beginning, it's a very practical message. But sometimes those practical messages can sometimes be the hardest. To be honest with you, I told my wife last night, I was like, I really don't want to preach about balance. But I knew that's what the Holy Spirit wanted. He wanted it for a reason. Maybe you're in here and you're saying, Brother Andy, I notice now that maybe I am out of balance in an area. And it's up to you to fix it. It's up to you to let the Holy Spirit have free reign and just get your hands off of it and just let it go and let the Lord right you when you're wrong. And don't get so upset and mad and angry if somebody else tells you about it. Examine your own heart, confess it, and forsake it. I'd like everybody to stand and bow your heads and close your eyes, please. Everybody to stand and bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to pray, and as soon as I'm done praying, we'll give the invitation. But I do want to mention this before I do pray, is that all those sins that we mentioned that is abomination to the Lord, which one of them's are unbalanced, lying, hands that shed innocent blood, homosexuality. Do you realize the book of Romans chapter 5, verse number 20, says that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And God's grace is sufficient enough to cover all those sins. Jesus' precious blood can cover anybody's sin at any time as long as they ask him. So I want to encourage you, if you're in here and you're lost and you would say, Brother Andy, I do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not saved. God's grace is sufficient. And you can simply come down here and take me by the hand and say, I need to be saved. I want to trust Christ as my Savior. I want to have a home in heaven. This invitation is for you. And maybe you're in here and you realize that you're out of balance. and you've got some areas you need fixing, then you can simply come down, kneel at the altar, and give it to the Lord. Confess it and forsake it, and give it over to the Holy Spirit, and let Him have His way. Dear Lord, we come before You, and I thank You so much for the Bible. I thank You so much for this church service. Lord, I just pray that You'll bless this invitation. Help those that are lost and undone to come to know You, but also help those of us that are Christians, that are born-again believers, that perhaps are out of balance in certain areas. I pray that they will come down and just kneel at the altar and say, Lord Jesus, help me with this imbalance. Help me with this, and I just confess it, I forsake it, and I just really need help with this. I just pray, Lord, that You'll have Your will and way in this invitation. Perhaps maybe it's something that I didn't even mention, maybe that You put on their heart that they need help with. I pray that they'll come and kneel at the altar and give it all to You this morning. Lord, I love You, and I do ask these things in Jesus' name.